Each day her voice drifted to me like a siren song. When she came to the shore, her melodies drew me closer, too close. When I saw what was coming, I became reckless and tried to warn her. I had to help. I knew the consequences. I knew that not even my title as Crown Prince of the Aquir would protect me from Kanaloa's judgment. But it didn't matter. I had to save her. Another day in paradise, I whispered to myself, smiling as I stepped into the light of early dawn. Taking a breath of salty air, I started humming a ditty I'd been toying with since the night before at the club. The tune had been stuck in my head all night, playing through my dreams like the background music of a motion picture. Now it was back again, waiting for me to bring it to life as a song. Songwriting, my one true weakness. I held my koa ukulele a little tighter as it brushed against the side of my blue skirt. The gentle swishing sounded like brushes on a snare drum as I walked. The ukulele was practically brand new, and I did not want to accidentally drop it during the mile walk from my room at the club to my favorite little pier on the harbor. Visiting the pier had become my morning ritual since arriving at Oahu nearly 3 months ago. Almost no one was ever there, and the scenic view of the ocean with the morning sky and the giant gleaming ships that filled the harbor made the perfect setting for writing my songs. I felt drawn to this pier the first day I arrived. For some reason, the place made me feel safe. And that's something I hadn't really felt since Mama passed away, back in New Orleans. Being surrounded by thousands of handsome sailors, all dressed in white, didn't hurt none either. I continued my walk, listening to the squawking seagulls flying overhead, when the breeze picked up the pungent aroma of dead fish from a local fishmonger. I crinkled up my nose in disgust. The foul smell assaulted my senses and sent my mind reeling. In a moment, I was no longer in Oahu, but back in New Orleans, with my stepfather looming over me smelling like dead fish and his fist reeled back ready to swing. "No!" I screamed, flinching. I blinked rapidly and took a deep breath, looking around me to make sure no one else witnessed my lapse in reality. "Stop it, Maris. You are free. You are strong. You are safe," I repeated in my head, lifting my chin up as I continued to walk. After Mama's death, things got worse with my stepfather, Gerald. She wasn't there to calm him down, and once she was gone, he hit the bottle worse than ever. But I found a way out. My voice became my ticket to freedom. At first, I worked the local clubs in New Orleans, sneaking out at night to sing anywhere that would take me. I was only 17 at the time, but I started making a name for myself, and soon all the local clubs wanted me to sing for them. One night, I even opened up for none other than Satchmo himself, Mr. Louis Armstrong. Word of my growing popularity got back around to Gerald, and he cornered me one evening, yelling and hollering that I owed him, that it was my fault my mama died, that I was his. He was drunk again, no surprise there, and though his words about my mama hurt, they didn't hurt as much as his fist. He backhanded me across the face, demanding that I hand over all my earnings from singing at the clubs. He wanted my money, the money I worked hard to earn and save. Crying, I told him that one of the club owners, a scary fella named Domino, kept all my money stashed away from me, and that I would get it from him in the morning. It was a lie, of course, but I told him what he needed to hear so he would stop beating me. Plus, I knew Gerald had been eyeing Domino's woman, and that the two had secret rendezvous. Just the whisper of Domino's name calmed Gerald down. The next day, after he threatened me one more time before leaving to work at the fish factory, I did the only thing I could do. I packed up all my belongings, along with my mama's mother-of-pearl comb, took all the money I'd been saving up, and grabbed the first train to Chicago. But only after sending an anonymous note to Domino, explaining in detail how Gerald had been stealing his woman away from under his nose. "Take that, Gerald,"